We begin the current Daven Sech, this Eivrin Dav Samach Hei. We begin on the bottom line of Samach Dalam and Beis, where the Gemara begins a discussion talking about Shichrus, about being drunk, being intoxicated, and specifically regarding the halachas of a tefillah. So a Gemara begins. Amar Rav Sheshis, Mishum Rav Lozman Azariah, and we continue at the top of Samach Hei Medal. Yochol ani lifter es kala oilam kula min adin. I could exempt the entire world from judgment, and that is I could come and claim in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the whole Jewish people something that I will say that will redeem everybody from the judgment that will ultimately come on everybody. From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, any person from that point up until now, I could exempt with the following claim. Shnimak says a pasuk in Yeshaya. So therefore, listen to this. Ania, the poor, downtrodden ones, v'shikayres v'loy miyayin, and the people that are drunk, but not from wine. And that is, I could claim in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they're drunk, and therefore they're not going to be held accountable for their sins because of all the elements that they're suffering. They have the same type of element as a drunkard, and therefore they're exempt. Rosh Gemara asks, Meisvei, we learned, shikar, someone that is a drunk, mikre mekech, what he purchases is considered a purchase in halacha. Memker, what he sells is considered a sale. Of Averishish Bamisa, if he does a sin that requires death, Misnaisa, they kill him. Malka, something that gets lashes, Malkanaisa, they give him lashes. Kalolisha Dabba, the general rule is regarding someone that's drunk. Hareyu Kibakel Chol Tavarov, he's considered like a regular sane person for everything that he does, he's held accountable. The only difference is that he's exempt from tefillah. Since he's not able to do a proper type of tefillah, therefore he's exempt. So how can you say that you would exempt the entire Jewish people from judgment because they have a halacha like a shikairis, like someone that's drunk, but not from wine, just from the elements of the suffering that they go through. Therefore they've lost it in that regard, but a drunkard is responsible for everything that he does. How could you exempt with such a claim in the heavenly court of law? Rosh Gemara answers, Mayucholni lifter. What did he mean that he said I could exempt the Jewish people? The Kamar Nami mitvin tefillah. What he was saying also regarding the judgment of tefillah, and that is, if they're going to judge the person, why was it that you didn't daven with kavana? You were spacing out. You weren't able to daven in a proper way. I could exempt them to say because they were considered like drunkards, and therefore they weren't able to have the proper frame of mind, and therefore on some level it is an exemption because of the relationship that a person has with Kadosh Baruch Hu is really based around tefillah. So therefore there is some element of really being pointed them from the din. But in the true sense, it means regarding tefillah, because the only thing that a shikr is exempt from is from tefillah. So the Gemara explains. I remember Chanina. We did not say in that brisa that someone that's shikr, which would include the Jewish people, is chayiv for everything, reliable as a pikeach, as a regular sane person. That's only if you did not reach the level of intoxication as light was. But if you reach the level of drunkenness that was by light, then you're exempt from everything. Then you're like a shaita. Then you're like someone that's insane and he has no thought process whatsoever. Then he would be considered exempt. And that is by light that he had relations with his daughters and that he totally wasn't there. That would be a level of intoxication that would exempt the person. What we're talking about is a regular person that's intoxicated. Then he's exempt from tefillah, but he would be liable for everything else. Now on this topic, the Gemara brings regarding, as we said, that a person has to be in the proper frame of mind for tefillah. He cannot be drunk. So Amar Chanina, Kalamethik Mugin. Whoever skips Mugin Avram, in other words, that he doesn't say it, which is the main bracha of Shemini Esrei, which basically means that somebody that doesn't daven, Bishas Gaiv at a time of haughtiness, that he's, in other words, he's drunk, and therefore the idea is that he will skip Mugin Avram. He does not daven when he's drunk. Seigrin V'chis Min Tzaris Badai. They lock and they seal any harmful things from coming to the person. In other words, by the virtue of not davening, that saves him from many troubles. Shnem, like it says in Pasuk in Iyev, Gava, at a time of Gaiva, of haughtiness, Afiki Moginim. Afiki means to bypass. Moginim, which is the shield, which is a reference to the first bracha in Shmoneh Esrei of Magen Avraham, Sagar is locked, Chesim is sealed, Tsar from difficulties. And that is, as we said, because to daven in such a state is more of disregard than not. By holding back, you show the regard that you have for speaking in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, you're safe from troubles if you don't daven when you're drunk. So the Gemara asks now, just to understand that pasuk, which was the source for this, my mashmah dahai apik lishnu da'avurihu. We said afike maginim, the one who bypasses Magen Avram. Where do we find the word afike? Afik means to bypass. The chsiv, so the Gemara brings the source of this, a pasuk in Iyev, that says, Achai bogdu, my brothers that have been treacherous, that have rebelled, k'maynocha, like a stream, k'afik necholam ya'avoyru. So we see regarding this afik necholam, it uses the terminology avir that they will bypass. And if we see that the word afik means to bypass, and that's where we get the source of this. Someone that bypasses Magen Avraham, he will be saved from many tzaras. A different interpretation of that pasuk, Rabbi Yechno Amar, says kol she'enoy mapik itma. The pasuk is saying that whoever is not mapik, and that is the word mapik, according to him, is a word of to reveal. In other words, whoever is not revealing his tefillah, in other words, he keeps it inside himself and he does not talk to God at that time, at the time when he's drunk, which means that he doesn't daven, he's the type of person that will be saved from many difficulties. To which the Gemara asks, my mashman the high mapik lishna de geluyehu. According to this interpretation, Rabbi Yechanan, that he says that mapik means to say to reveal, to actually talk about it and exclaim it. Where do we find that the word mapik means to reveal? So he brings his source to Chesiva, says a pasuk in Tehillim, vayiro'u afiki moyim, that the channels of water were visible. And this is a reference to, as that chapter in Tehillim talks about the incident of Kriyas Yamsev. As the end of the pasuk writes, vayigalu moistis table, and that the foundations of the earth were revealed. Again, so we find that the word afike is related to the word vayigalu, that there's a revelation. So therefore, both of them are basically saying the same idea, that you should not be davening at a time of drunkenness. It's just one says that he bypasses Magid, the other one says, to the contrary, that if he doesn't do afikim, if he doesn't reveal it, then he's going to be saved and spared from the difficulties. So the Gemara is mechti. The pasuk can be interpreted, and it makes sense according to both interpretations. Again, whether it means to bypass or not to reveal. And that is the main idea, is that you shouldn't daven when you're drunk. So my benai, what's the difference between the two of them? Why do they say their own interpretations? So the difference would be in halacha, ki benai derav sheshes. The difference would be the custom that Rav Sheshes had. Derav Sheshes moser shinsei l'shamoy. Rav Sheshes would give over to his attendant and would say, you know, I drank a little bit too much wine. Let me sleep with it a little bit. When it comes time for the davening, then wake me up. And that is, the difference would be, Mar, according to Rabbi Yechanan, Isla de Rav Sheshes. He held the Rav Sheshes that he said that it's about, you shouldn't reveal the wine, you shouldn't reveal your tefillah at the time of when you drink. Which is, okay, so then when you sleep a little bit, your attendant could wake you up. Umar Lesle de Rav Sheshes, however, Rav Chanina, that he learned from that Avure, he said that this word of afike means to bypass, which is more passive in the sense that it passes you by. He doesn't hold the Rav Sheshes. He says you're not allowed to daven until you wake up on your own, because that shows that you've already moved on past that state of intoxication. But if someone wakes you up, then that would not be a total proof, and therefore then you can't daven until you wake up by yourself. And therefore, according to his interpretation, you wouldn't be allowed to have someone else wake you up. Now the Gemara goes and segues into something related to this and says, Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rab, kol she'in daitoy miyushevis alav. So we're talking about the halachas of tefillah. So we said regarding drinking while intoxicated, that's forbidden. Now the Gemara says, if someone that does not have his thought process, that it's settled on him, al yispal, he also shouldn't daven. Mishum shenema, as it says in the pasuk, batzar, at a time of constraint, al yared, you should not go ahead and paskin, you should not go ahead and relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which Rashi says he checked for this pasuk and he didn't find it in any of the writings of the Sifri Tanakh. And he says maybe it's from the Sefer of Ben Sira, which was not from the Sifri of Tanakh, but it was from those books that were related to a lot of the Jewish sayings. Similarly, the Gemara says, Reb Chanina, b'yayim de rasach, at a day when he got angry, lo yimatzli, he wouldn't daven. Omar, he said, again, batzar al yurik, if it says that at a time of constraint, the person should not daven, should not relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the same idea that a person has to be in a settled frame of mind when he's talking to the King of all kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, Mar Ukva b'yayim d'shusa, at a time of when the southern wind was blowing, which was a very strong wind, which was an element of batzar, he would not go to the court of law and paskin for the dinatari, because again, his mind wasn't totally settled. Amr Rav Nachman Yitzchok, related Rav Nachman Yitzchok said, Hilchasa Bayitzilusa, to paskin halacha, it requires a lucid, clear mind, kuyoma de istna, like a day when the northern wind blows, which was a day of light, and which was pleasant for everybody. As the Gemara in Masechet Yevamah says, that why was it that the Jewish people did not have circumcision in the desert? Because they didn't have the northern wind blowing. However, on B'yayim d'shusa, when the southern wind is blowing, then we say that you don't do a bris milah, you don't do other operations that day, again, because those are harsh elements, those are elements of batzar, then it's al yayra. So now the Gemara says in this chiddush of batzar, that we find that a person has to have his mind totally settled when he has to be involved in spiritual pursuits. Amar baya, I'm really aim, if my mother would tell me, kriv kutra, just bring the kutach, just pass the dip, even something very simple as that, it would be mevatlami. It would take away from my clarity of my focus. And like tonight, I would not be able to learn like I usually learn. It would take away from the focus that I have. Oh, my Rava. Rava says, if a louse would bite me, if he had lice, like tonight, also couldn't learn. There was a certain hyper focus that they had, which was necessary for davening, for paskin the din Torah, and for learning Torah. It shows the intensity that they had. Mabre Dravina, so related to what Rava said, says that Mabre Dravina, Avdele Ime, his mother made from Zion money la Zion Yomi. Seven different articles of clothing for seven different days. It was like Rabbeinu Hananel said that it could change every day because of the lice, that he should not have that problem of not being able to put all his focus and energies and thought process into learning. So now regarding this learning of Torah that we were speaking about, the intensity and the required energy put into that, the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda, Le'ivri Le'el Ye'el L'Shintza. He says that night was only created for sleeping. That's what night is for. Amar Shem Melakish, Le'ivri Siara. However, the moonlight was created. El Le'girs, only for learning. And that is, although night is for learning, that's also the time when a person can merit the crown of Torah when he invests his energies to learn by moonlight. They said to Reb Zera, your statements, your sayings, your teachings are very sharp. He said to them, you want to know why? Because they are the learning from the daytime. And that is, the daytime is the time when the focus of a person's energy should be, because at night is when you sleep. The daughter of Chizda said to her father, Reb Chizda, doesn't Tati have to sleep a little bit? You never sleep. You're always busy learning. He said to Hashta asa, don't wait, there's going to be coming a time soon. Yoimi da'arichi k'tin, it's going to be days that are long and short. V'neinam tuva, and then we're going to be able to sleep a long time. Which basically he was saying was, these are going to be the days when I'm in the grave, which are long to sleep, but short to be able to toil in Torah mitzvahs, then it's all over. I have to chop around right now, because then I'll have enough time to sleep. Acha me'eva esrim, after 120. Amar Menachem Yitzchak. Anan poili di mamanan. We are day workers, which on some level means this world, Olam Hazeh. It also means during the day when the bulk of a person's learning has to be. And therefore, related, Rav Acha ben Yaakov, Yosef apart said that he would borrow and pay back, which Rashi interprets to mean to say that he would make what's important, kviyas itim latay. He would set certain times when he would be learning, or a certain amount of learning, a quota that he would have to do by day. But he was busy a lot of times with business during the day. So therefore, sometimes since he had these tirdas of getting parnassah for his family, he would have to pay it back the times that he had set during the day to go ahead and pay it back at nighttime. So though we're day workers, but sometimes he would borrow from that time of learning and pay it back at nighttime. Now the Gemara goes back and resumes the discussion we had regarding tefillah. Amar Reb Elazar, habom en haderech, someone that comes back from a journey on the road, al yispal shleishem, he should not daven for 3 days. Again, showing us the proper focus that a person is really supposed to have, because his thought process is not so settled because of the tircha, because of the difficulty of the challenges of travel, and therefore he shouldn't daven for 3 days. As the Gemara brings the source of pasuk in Ezra, shenema, the ekbitzim al anar, and I will gather them to the river, habo el ahavo, which the proper gear says not with a ches but a hay, that come to ahavo, v'nach nisham shleishim, and we settled there, we rested there for 3 days. And then it says, Vavina va'am v'germa, then I understood the nation. Which basically means to say that up until now, there was no bina, there was no discernment. Until it was after 3 days, finally after they stopped journey. Because you see that it requires an amount of 3 days to get over their travel. And therefore you can't daven for 3 days because there is a certain focus that's necessary, that's required of us when we're davening in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in front of God. Avud Shmuel, it says, regarding the father of Shmuel, ki asa ba'urcha, when he would go on the road, when he would come back from a journey, le'matzli t'lasim, he wouldn't daven for 3 days. Simple. That was what was necessary to have the right focus. Shmuel, le'matzli be'beisa de'ispe shechra. So related to this, about the necessary conditions to daven, Shmuel would not daven in a house that had beer over there, because the smell of the beer would make him drunk. There was a certain level of intoxication which would take away from his intensity of tefillah. Rav Papa, le'masa be'beisid is beharsna. He wouldn't daven in a haum that had fried fish. Because of the smell, it was not proper to be davening in a place with such a smell. So now the Gemara continues on this theme about wine. As we spoke about that it's not proper to daven with wine. So now the Gemara talks about the milas and the other elements of wine. Amar Pchanina, kol mispata be'yena, whoever is seduced by his wine. Which means to say that if they're trying to appease a person regarding some issue, and he's okay about it when, as the term is, ketoyv liboy b'yayim, when he's good, he's rejoicing, he's merry on wine, and then he goes, you know what, it's okay. Yesh b'medas koinei. He has from the characteristics of his creator. Shenema, like we find the pasuk in Bereishis that shows the same type of element with God. It says Vayarach Hashem esriach anechayach v'gayma, that Hashem smelled the great smell that was emanating when Noach brought karbonis after the mabul, after the flood. So it says that Hashem said to himself, so to speak, that I'm not going to curse anymore the earth because of man, because the inclination of man's heart is evil from when he's young, and therefore I'm not going to smite him anymore and all the living things that I created. And therefore that is, as we find Rashi says, that basically this person is like God, because as we said before, that reach, smell, is similar to drinking, as that was what we said, that he wouldn't daven in a place where there was beer because the smell would intoxicate him just like the drinking. And since here it says that a God was vayomer libo, he said to himself, lo yos, I'm not going to curse him anymore, that he was mispate, so to speak, from the karbonis, that he was pleased and he was appeased by what Noach had brought him. So that's the same type of thing. The smell is related to taste, and that is being appeased by those type of things that are brought to a person. Again, whether he's drinking it or by God metaphorically, it's metaphysically, it means that there's Hashem had that smell, he was pleased with that. So someone that's appeased by his wine has some type of a characteristic as his creator. Amr Bechir, similarly, Reb Chiya says, "Kol Mesiashiv Biyenu," someone that is settled with his wine, that he drinks wine and he doesn't get all lost and his mind starts swimming. Then Yesh B'Medas Ayin Zekenim, such a person has from the das, from the knowledge of 70 elders. Which the Gemara explains, why is that? Why, if someone is settled when drinking his wine and he doesn't lose himself and suddenly he's loosely lipped and he's saying everything and he's spilling all the beans, why does that mean that he has the das of 70 elders? Because yain niten b'ayin oisis, wine is given with 70 signs. The soid and secret niten b'ayin oisis is given with 70 signs, which Rashi explains to me the numerical value, the gematria of yain is 70. And soy, which is secret, is also at 70, because yain is yud, 10, and nun is 50, at 70. And soy is the samach is 60, the vav is 6, and the dalet is 4, also equaling 70, which means that generally, nichnas yain yatsa soy, when wine comes in, that 70, that changes what was in already, it pushes out the other 70, that's the secret that was already in there, that comes out. However, as Rashi says, this person, since his secrets do not come out, he's settled with his wine, he's able to hold it down, so he is equal, he's the equivalent of the Sanhedrin that had 70, because he's able to keep it inside. He retains his das. And that's why, since he keeps his side, he has the das of Ayin Zekenim, of 70 elders. Amar B'chanan, Le'nivri Yayin, wine was only created for two types of people. El Nacham Avelim, only to comfort to the mourners. Ulasham Schal Rasham, had to pay the reward for the evil people that they drink and they're merry and they rejoice and they get their reward of the next world here in this world. Shnei Malach, it says a pasuk in Mishlei, Tenu Sheichru Lo'Eved, give hard liquor to those who are lost, which are the Rasham, they're the evil people. And the pasuk there ends, the Yain Lamari Nefesh, and wine to the bitter of soul, which is a reference to the mourners, and that they give in hard drink to be able as a way to get past their difficulties. Amar B'chan Bar Papa, any person that does not have wine flowing in his home like water is not included in blessing. And that is, he didn't reach the ultimate blessing, that even if he's so wealthy with other elements, but doesn't have wine pouring like water, he didn't reach the zenith of his bracha. Shenemak says the pasuk in Shemais, Uverech es lachmacha, that Hashem will bless your bread, besmeimecha, and your water. What does that mean? So, ma'lechem shenikach bekesa meister, it's comparing the water to the bread. That just like bread can be purchased with meister money, and that is, you're allowed to buy with meister sheni money when you're in Shalayim, you're allowed to buy with every type of food besides water and salt, as the Gemara says, in Bekom Ha'arvin on Daf Chavav HaMabez. So, af ma'im shenikach bekesa meister, so too regarding water that can be purchased with meister money. Now, we just said that water is not included. Water and salt are the only exceptions. Umayniu, so what is the water that we're referring to? It's yain, it's wine. But for Kakar Lemayim, they're calling it water. Why is that? So we continue on with Beis. What it means to say is, Inishbech bebeisik kemayim, if the wine is being poured forth in one's home like water, then the kebracha, then this blessing. That means he's included in Uverech es lachmacha ves mimecha. Veiloiloi, but if he's not poured like water, then not. That means he didn't reach the ultimate bracha yet. So the Gemara concludes this discussion with Amr Belayi, B'shloisha Devarim Adam Nikar, with three things a person could be recognized if he's a proper upstanding person or not. B'kaisai, with his cup, to see if his, as we said on Amad Alf, if his mind is settled when he drinks a cup of wine. U'bikisai, and with his wallet, that when with his business dealings with people, if he does it faithfully. Uvekaisei, and with his anger, which means if he doesn't get too angry, that's they're all related. These words, kaisei, kisei, and kaisei. And finally, v'amrilan, some say af pesachaka, even with his laughter, what he laughs, how he laughs, that will also show the integrity of what type of person he is. Now the Gemara resumes regarding the topic of our Mishnah again, which was talking about making a Riva Chatzeris in a Chatzar where there's an Akum, where there's a non-Jew. So Amr Rabbi Yehuda Merav, he says a unique case. He says, Yisrael v'nochi b'pnimis, regarding a Jew and a non-Jew that's in the inner courtyard. That is, there are two courtyards, one from within the other. There's an, in other words, the inner one can only get out to the Rosh Hashanah only if it goes through the outer courtyard. Now, that means that the inner courtyard has a right-of-way on the outer courtyard. So there's a, in the inner one, which have the right-of-way of the outer one, there's a Jew and a non-Jew. And there's a Jew in the, only a Jew in the outer one. So b'mais lifnei Rebbe v'asas, a Rav said that this incident came in front of Rebbe, and he said it's forbidden for the outer one until he goes ahead and rents from the nachri that's in the intern, that's in the inner one. He cannot go ahead and carry in the ziri until he goes ahead and takes an eruv from the guy that's in the inner one. And similarly, the same question, the same case was brought up in front of Rebbe, and he also said it's forbidden that we have to go ahead and go ahead and be seicher. And this is the topic of that our Mishnah was that we said when you're in a chatzar which has Jews and non-Jews, so Jews can go ahead and make a Rebbe chatzeres, but the non-Jews cannot join. But since they do have a dwelling there, at least midrabanan, we said although maybe their dira is not really a dira, it's like a stable, it should not make it aser. But since we did not want the Jews to learn from the non-Jews, so we made a gzer drabanan that we should consider like a dira. And since the non-Jew is not going to want to rent it out, because that's the only way we could consider it ours to go ahead and enjoy the Rebbe chatzeres, he's not going to want this, and the Jews are going to have to leave. That's what the ultimate intention of what the rabanan were. So therefore, again, but the way that we could access their Rishui is to make a part of the Riva Chatzeres is to rent it from them. So therefore, we said in such a case, we have an inner one and the outer one. The only way to get from the inner one to the outside is to go through the outer one. Although there's only one Jew in the outer one, he has to go ahead and rent from the non-Jew that's by the inside one. So the Gemara says that Yosef Rabba Rabbi Yosef Bishili Pirkei Rav Sheshes. So Rabba and Rabbi Yosef were sitting at the end of the lecture of Rav Sheshes after he finished his shir. The Yosef Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes was sitting and he was saying the following thing. Kaman Amar Rav Lishmaiti, who was Rav going like when he said this statement that again that the one Jew in the outer one has to go ahead and rent from the non-Jew that's in the inner one with the other Jew? Kireb Meir, he's obviously saying it like Reb Meir. The Reb Meir said you don't have to have two Jews to make it forbidden one on the other. And here, since there's only one Jew in either Chatzar, although there's not two Jews, and that was the machlokes we had in our Mishnah regarding that we said that it's a problem with the non-Jew and the Jews inside that they're going to have to rent from him. There was a machlokes whether it has to be only two Jews to make it forbidden, but one Jew will not be a problem, as the Gemara had explained in the previous staff, because that's a milsa l'shchich. It's not so common for one Jew to live amongst many non-Jews because they're suspected to go ahead and murder him for bloodshed. So therefore, since it's not common, we did not make the gzer in that case, or did we even say it is even by one Jew? So therefore, it must be that Rav was going like Reb Meir that said you don't have to have two Jews to make it forbidden one or the other, even if there's only one Jew, which in this case was like that, that each courtyard had only one Jew. So in spite of the fact that there's only one Jew on the outside one, he would still have to go ahead and rent the right-of-way that the non-Jew from the inner one has in his chatzar, and that's why it's going to be usher until you rent from him, although there's only one Jew. So Karkash Rabba Reisha, Rabbi was shaking his head. He was agreeing to this that Rav Sheshes had said that, yeah, it makes sense. It must be like Reb Meir because there's only one Jew in each courtyard. Now, that shouldn't be a problem with the non-Jews right of way. But obviously, it's like Reb Meir holds it is a problem even with one Jew. So I'm Rabbi Yisrael. Rabbi Yisrael said, I don't understand. Trey Gravi, Ravi Krabbanon, two great people like you two Rabbanon, Liti behind Milsi would make such a mistake? I don't understand. Ikri Reb Meir, if you're saying that Rabbi's going like Reb Meir, why did he have to say in his case that there was a Jew in the outer courtyard, which would be mashma that therefore you would have to have two Jews, because you're adding one plus one. You have the inner courtyard, which is a Jew and a non-Jew, and the outer courtyard, which is one Jew. Why would you need that? Just forget about the outer courtyard. Make believe there's only one courtyard. You have a Jew and a non-Jew. They have to go ahead and rent his property because the one on the inner one is one Jew with a non-Jew. Reb Meir holds, even in such a case, he would have to go ahead and rent his property. Why would I need to have another Jew in the outer courtyard for such a case? It's unnecessary to say the halacha that you would have to rent from that non-Jew. Now, if you're going to say that you're right, we don't have to say that there was an outer courtyard, an inner courtyard, just one courtyard, a Jew, even one Jew amongst another non-Jew would have to go ahead and rent it from him. It's just that was what the story was. It happened to be like that. But I'll prove to you that it's not like that, and it's not like Reb Meir. Because they had asked from Rav, what's with the one Jew that's in the inner courtyard in his place? What would Maha, what is the halacha? Could he take out from his house into his courtyard? V'amalan mutter, he says, yes, he is permitted. He doesn't have the problem of having to rent from the non-Jews. Obviously, Rav held that it only was a problem in the outer courtyard, that he had to rent from the non-Jews right away in his outer courtyard. And the reason being must have been is because then you have two Jews that have a right of way in that outer courtyard. Now you have two Jews plus one non-Jew, which is not like Rimeh. That the only reason why it was a problem in the outer one, not the inner one, because they had specifically asked Rav regarding that and said that's not a problem, is because that's like the other opinion who argued in Rimeh that you have to have two Jews and then the non-Jew would be a problem. So then the Gemara concedes, so you're right. So it can't be Rimeh, because then why would you need to have the outer courtyard? Ve'elamai, so what are you going to say? Kablaz ben Yaakov, he's the other pin that says that a non-Jew is only a problem when you have two Jews. And since here you have with both the inner courtyard with the right of way of the outer one, so we view almost everyone in the outer courtyard, which is the non-Jew and the Jew and the one Jew that's in the outer one. So you have two Jews and one non-Jew, and that's why it's a problem. And that's why Rav said that then you would have to rent from the non-Jew that's in the inner courtyard. But that also doesn't make sense. Ha'amar, he said, the only way it's going to be a problem with a non-Jew is if the two Jews are making a forbidden one on the other. And as Rashi says, this is not a case of that the two Jews are a problem for each other. Because as the Rabbanan, which is the majority opinion, they say at the end of the parak, they say what's called that regal hamateris b'mekoima, someone has a right-of-way in his place, which is the case in this Jew, he has a right-of-way in his inner courtyard, as we said, because he's only one Jew or the non-Jew, and we're going not like the opinion of Reb Meir. Therefore, he can go ahead and carry in his own chatzar. Then we said, he does not make it a problem for an area not in his own chatzar, which would be the chatzar outside with the one Jew on the outside because of the right-of-way that he has over there. And that is, even if he didn't make an error with the outside one, it wouldn't go ahead and make it a problem. Because although generally we say that, yes, he has the right of way. If I have the right of way, you have to make an error with me. The Rabban say that no. Such a case would not have to be made an error with the inner one and the outer one. Because since I have a right of way over here, we say we view you as not having a right of way over there. Because you could carry somewhere. You're Muteris Bim Kaima. Here you have one, again, there's three people that we're talking about here. We have an outer courtyard, an inner courtyard. An inner courtyard has the right of way to go through the outer one to go outside. Now, since the inner Jew has a right of way in this courtyard because there's only one Jew and one non-Jew, and we're going not like Reb Meir holds not a problem, so he can carry there. The Rabbanan's opinion is, as we're going to see at the end of the parak, they say that we don't view you as if you have a right of way in the outside one, because why ruin it for the Jew outside who did not make an heir with you? He's going to lose his right of way if you didn't join with him, because then you have two Jews. You don't view it as a single owner. You view it as a joint ownership, which that's the problem, which you always have to do Eruv Chatzeres to make it as if it's owned by one. And therefore, the question is, if you're going to say it's like a Blazer ben Yaakov, then we have the problem of that, there, in a sense, there's not really two Jews in the outer one, because we make him limited to the inner one. So then it's like maybe the non-Jew could go outside, but then that's again one Jew, one non-Jew. That's not a problem because I'm not going like Reb Meir. So again, how do we understand this halacha of Rav that in this case you'd have to rent from the non-Jew's property? Ella, so therefore the Gemara says what you have to say Rav held was Reb Akiva. Like Reb Akiva, not like the opinion of the Rabbanan that we just quoted, who that is the Machlokes Reb Akiva and the Rabbanan, that the Amar that Reb Akiva says that even Regal Hamuteris Bimkaima, even someone that has the right of way in his own place, which is the Jew in the inner courtyard, he still makes it forbidden for an area that's not his own. That is, we consider him, yes, he has the right of way in the outer one. Therefore, it's the equivalent as having two Jews that are making a forbidden one on the other in the outer courtyard. And therefore, we could say that now that there's two Jews in the outer courtyard, so the one non-Jew would make it a problem. Because we're going, even according to everyone, the Pinimikon Rabbi Zeman Yaakov, now that you have two Jews in the outside one, because we do view the inner one on the outside like Reb Akiva. That's why Rav had to say, now that there's two Yisraelim in the outside one, we have to rent from the non-Jew. Then the Gemara says, then Lomali Nachi, why do I need a non-Jew for Afal Yisrael Nami? Even if there's just the two Jews, it's still going to be a problem because you didn't make an Erev. You have the Jew from the inside courtyard that has the right of way in the outer courtyard. Now, that makes a problem for the outer one. The inner one's not a problem because we don't view the outer one having the right of way in the inside one because where are you going? I have a right of way through the outer one because I have to get out in the public domain. We view that as my teresis haregel, as my right of way. So therefore, you are not considered like a Rosh HaSayachet in your whole chatzah because I can get through and I'm viewed as a joint owner. So then that itself would make it a problem for the outer one. Why do I need to come on to that? There's a problem of the Nachri because of his right of way, and then you would have to rent from his domain. To which the Gemara says, what you have to say is that it's a compound that Rav holds like. He holds Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. He holds like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, and that's why the one Jew in the inside courtyard that he's mutter, because again, there's only one Jew with one non-Jew. As long as only one Yisrael, there's not going to be a problem no matter how many non-Jews there are, because that was a milsul shchicha, as that opinion on Mishnah, and therefore it's not going to be aser. Rabbi Akiva, but he also holds like Rabbi Akiva. And that's why the Jew in the outer courtyard is going to be forbidden until he rents from the non-Jew that's inside because of the right of way that the inner courtyard Jew has to go on the outer one like Rabbi Akiva. Now, since he's making it forbidden, because now we view as if both Jews are in the outer one, so the question was, so why do we need the problem of the non-Jew? We have the problem of the inner Jew. We're talking about that the two Jews, since as Rabbi Akiva holds that the inner Jew, we view him in the outside one, that we'd say, even though he could stay in his own chatzar, it doesn't make a difference. We're not what's called kaifin amid the sedayim, like the Rabban hold, that we don't allow him to be viewed as if he has the right of way in the outside one. We do view he has the right of way. But they made an erev together, which therefore there's no problem. And therefore, time and therefore, because we're saying that there's a non-Jew, that's why it's forbidden. Because the non-Jew helps to be mevatel the Erev. Even if they make the Erev, the non-Jew will say, hey, Erev doesn't help. I have a right of way here also, and I cannot be considered as having part of the Erev. And therefore, until you rent my property, your Erevs are not going to help. And that was why Rav said you have to rent his property. But you're right, if there would be no non-Jew, then it wouldn't be a problem. Because again, we're talking about a case that they made an Erev. And again, now we understand the case of Rav, that it was going like two opinions, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and that's why the inner one on his own would not be a problem. It's only because that there's two chatzeres, there's an outer one, which the inner one has the right of way, like Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, although he has a right of way in his own, we view him, even though he's mutter mekayma, we view him as asering, as forbidding the one shalei b'mekayma. And that's why, since it's talking about with an Erev, that they themselves would not be a problem, it's only because there's a non-Jew that would make a problem now that there's two Jews and one non-Jew, that even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, there would be a problem. So therefore, that's why Rav said you have to go ahead and rent the domain of the non-Jew. A similar type of question. The Gemara says, "Bayimene Rabbi Elazar mirav." The proper gear says Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer. He asked from Rav a reverse type of a question. Yisrael v'nachri b'chitzayna. Let's say there's a Jew and a non-Jew in the outer courtyard. V'yisrael b'pnimis, and there's only one Jew on the inner one. Maho, what is the halacha? As the Gemara explains, hasam taima, in the regards to the case that we just mentioned, the reason why we said that it's going to be a problem, the non-Jew, and therefore you have to rent his property, mishum d'shchiach d'dayer, because it would be common for a Jew to live with a non-Jew in the inner one, because although we say generally it's not so common, one Jew amongst a non-Jew, demirtas nachri. Because in such a case, when there is another Jew in the outer courtyard, the non-Jew is afraid to murder the Jew that lives with him in the inner courtyard. Because b'savar, he'll think to himself, hashti asa Yisrael ba'amali, because then the Jew in the outer courtyard is going to come and tell me, Yisrael dehava gabachecha, where is that Jew that used to live amongst you? And I'm not going to be able to tell him that, oh, he went out somewhere, I don't know where he went. Because if he's going to say, if he went out, I would have seen him. The only way he could have came out was coming through my outer courtyard. And therefore, but they will say that there is some type of a shchiach, it is common, and therefore there would be the isser of requiring Rebbe Chatzeris and renting from the non-Jew's domain. But over here, where the Yisrael and the non-Jew are in the outer courtyard, Aminale Nafik Azule, I could tell the Jew from the inner courtyard, you want to know where the Jew who lived with me in the outer courtyard? I don't know, he went somewhere. And therefore, since in that case we have one Jew living with one non-Jew, then the non-Jew would not be afraid, which is the classic reason of why we say, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, when you have one Jew living amongst non-Jews, that there was no such a isser of gezer d'rabbanan, of saying that we view the non-Jew's dira as a literal dira, and that you would have to go ahead and rent his dira, because it's not common for a Jew to live there, because he's afraid of being murdered. And since it's a milsud l'shchich, it's not a common case for one Jew to live by himself amongst non-Jews. Therefore, we weren't geyser over there. So maybe over here we would say that it's not going to be aser. Like Dimo, maybe no hachanami mirtas, maybe here, just like the case we had said before, maybe the non-Jew is still afraid. And therefore, we would require renting his property, and it would be included in the gzeir d'rabbanan of when there's a living amongst the akim. Because the sava hashti asi yisrael b'chazli, because maybe he's going to say, maybe the Jew who lives in the inside one, he's going to be passing by, because the only way he can get by is coming through where we live, and he's going to see me murdering the Jew, and therefore it would be us, just like the case we had before. That was the question he asked from him. So Amalei, he quoted him a pasuk in Mishlei. He says, "Tel lachacham, give something to a wise person, and he'll be even smarter." In other words, figure it out from the first case that I told you, which Rashi explains to mean that just like in the first case it was aser because the non-Jew in this case is afraid, and therefore it's not the same heter when you have one Jew living amongst non-Jews. Here also it's going to be usr because the non-Jew will still be afraid, because ultimately there is a Jew that's always passing by to get out to the Rishus Aram, because there's only one Jew that lives in the inside when he'll have to pass by. So therefore he is afraid, and therefore it is included in the Gzeir Rabbanon of requiring to rent the non-Jew's property in that type of a case. So the Gemara brings an incident. Rish Lakish v'tamidid Reb Chanina, iklulu lahu pundik. They went to a certain inn. Now, the way the inns were, that there were many different rooms that opened up into the courtyard, and the host, the different guests that would come in there, they would be different people, and therefore they would make it forbidden one and the other on Shabbos, because it wasn't owned by one person. That's the classic reason why a chatzar is a problem, because it's not owned by one individual. So therefore, they came to this inn, where in that inn, that there was a courtyard, so there was different rooms in that courtyard, that there were two Jews and one non-Jew that had rented a dira from the non-Jew. So again, there were like basically like four rooms. There were two Jews, one non-Jew, and all these three people were renting. And then you had the homeowner, the one that owned the place, that he had his own area over there. Now, v'loy habaseicher, that now that week, that Shabbos, the other non-Jew that was renting wasn't there. However, v'hava maskir, but the one who was the renter, he was there. Now, they were afraid that maybe the nachri that was renting would come on Shabbos and make it a problem. In other words, they want to be able to carry on the chatzar. Now, the problem is there's non-Jews. So they go ahead and you rent his domain, but that non-Jew is not here. So when he's not here, he's not a problem. But they were afraid he might come on Shabbos. So what do you do? So Amr, they said, mahu lemeger minei. They wanted to know, can we rent from the renter? Can we rent, because he owns everything. Now, although he rented it out, he can't do anything about it right now, but can we rent from him the other non-Jews, the renter that's not here for this week, because we're afraid he might come on Shabbos and make it a problem. Can we rent from him now his property? So the Gemara explained, Kol hecha dele matzi misalikle, where the renter cannot get rid of the rent of the one that's leasing the property until his time is up. In other words, he wouldn't be able to get rid of him. Then lo tibayelach, then there is no question that definitely it's not within his domain. Dele agrinan, that we can't rent from him that person's domain, and that would be, it wouldn't be feasible, and therefore if he comes on Shabbos, we wouldn't be able to carry. The whole question would be, he could get rid of him. In other words, his contract is up, but he lets him stay on. He would be able to evict him if he wanted to. My, what's the halacha? Since he would be able to get rid of him if he wants to, so then we could rent from the renter, in other words, from the one that's renting it out, from the masker, because he would be able to get to evict the one that's renting. Maybe no, because ultimately now he didn't get rid of him. So the one that the renter that went away for Shabbos, he is the rightful owner, and therefore it wouldn't help to rent the property from the one who owns it. So Amlan Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said to the people Tamachim that were around, they want to know what to do for Shabbos. Says, you know what, Nisker, let's rent it from the owner, because since this is a Suffolk Drabbanan, which is the whole Eruv Chatzeres is Issa Drabbanan, we go Lahakel more lenient interpretation. When we come to our teachers in the south, Nishlam will ask them if we did right. So after Shabbos, they came to Reb Efes and they asked, did we do the right thing? He said, you did the right thing that you rented. That is a permitted way of doing it. A similar type of a story the Gemara brings. Reb Chanina bar Yosef, Reb Chiya bar Abba, Reb Asi, these three Tamid Chacham, iklu lahu pundik, they came to a certain inn. The Asa Nachri Mori de Pundik b'Shabbata, that the non-Jewish owner of the inn came on Shabbos. Now, what happened was that yesterday, on Erev Shabbos, it was okay to make an Erev amongst the ones that were living there, which were only Jews that were there in that inn for Shabbos, because the non-Jew that wasn't there for the beginning of Shabbos, he doesn't make it forbidden for them. It's only when he's there. So he wasn't there, but then he came on Shabbos. So now what do we do? Amru Ma'ula Megerman, they want to know, could we rent from him his property on Shabbos? Because he's here now, he makes it forbidden. The one non-Jew is the wrench that breaks up everything, because now there is someone else besides this one Rishus Yechid that we made amongst the Jews. They want to know, could we rent his property from on Shabbos? And basically the question was that there's two other elements that we find by Erev, how to get it, through an Erev, or through being Mevatel the Rishus, about saying, you know what, I don't have any right of way. One is by joining together with them, one is saying, I'm not here. The question was, what type of status is it regarding when you rent from the non-Jew? As the Gemara explains, do we say that renting his property is the equivalent of making the Erev, of joining him together, saying that property is amongst our big rishas hayachid, our big private domain, that ma, but mama arav mibel yoyim, just like to make an erev has to be from before Shabbos, av shechem mibel yoyim. So to renting the non-Jewish property has to be from before Shabbos, and here it's already Shabbos, it's too late. Like Dilmor, maybe it's the equivalent of the other type of halacha, how to make a proper area where you could carry in the chatzar, is when someone's mavatal is rishus, saying, no, I don't have any right of way, don't worry about me. The fact that I didn't join the erev shouldn't be a problem because I'm relinquishing my rights to this area. So is it the equivalent of that? And ma mavatal rishus mefil b'shabbos, just like being mavatal rishus, you can do that even on Shabbos, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah later on, that says that Beisil l'say, even mishatech shech, even when it's already dark, so afseich mefil b'shabbos, so maybe also renting the non-Jews' domain would work even on Shabbos. That was the question. So Chanina bar Yosef Amar Niski says, yes, we can go ahead and rent it that way, even on Shabbos. Rabbi Asi Maloy Niski says, no, we cannot rent it. So Amar Lohu, Reb Chiya bar Abbas said to them, Nismach al Divri Zakim Niska, let us rely on the elder and rent it, which that was the elder's opinion in this case, was that you could rent it. That's Reb Chanina bar Yosef. Asu Shai Reb Yechanan. So then they had come and they asked Reb Yechanan, Amlehan, he said to them, continuing at the top of Samach Vav Manav, Yafa Asisim Shazachartim, you did right properly by renting it, and that is basically saying that it's the equivalent of Bitl Rishus, just like to relinquish your rights that you have in the domain, you could do on Shabbos. So to renting is equivalent of not saying that he has the right of way, he's not part of the heir of the non-Jew, it's taking away what he has through the renting of his domain, and therefore that could be done even on Shabbos, and that's why it was okay that even though he came on Shabbos, you could rent his property on Shabbos.